Hey there, Ford Alliance, our extended digital family. We welcome you here today. We come to a verse in the midst of this prayer we've been going through that like immediately takes us to the mess, the difficulty, even the horror of life. It comes from Matthew chapter 6. Verse 12, where in this prayer, Jesus tells us to pray like this. Forgive us our trespass or sins as we forgive those who've sinned or have trespassed against us. And so just really quick as we start and as we get into and are about to dig into this, I want you to know that as a pastor, I've had so many visits that have broken my heart and brought me to tears. Visits where with perhaps even some of you who might be watching, we've been processing abuses of all sorts, all kinds, from physical, emotional, mental, sexual, abuse that is infinitely not of or from the heart of God, yet our experience here on earth. And so I start like this, understanding that I'm not belittling any one of those things. In fact, I'm not for a moment today neglecting that or not even considering that. In fact, those things are at the very forefront of my mind as we get into the weight of this verse, a verse that I think for many of us is probably the most difficult line in the Lord's Prayer. And so I just want you to know, like, I realize the weight of this passage. In many ways, what Jesus is saying here is we are forgiven and how we forgive others. I've shared this story with the fellowship here in person, but I don't think I've ever mentioned it fully online before, and so I just want to recap it if I could. Two weeks ago, I talked about the Word of God, how God is speaking. He has spoken, and He is still speaking today, and His Word is still available for us. We talked about the Logos Word, right? Jesus, the Word of God given to a group of people or a number of instances for all people. The Word of God that we can find right here in the Holy Bible. But we also spoke of the Rhema Word, and we gave example of God's Rhema Word, Him speaking, revealing Himself to a specific individual in a specific circumstance in the midst of a specific time and place in life, if you will. And the Holy Spirit is the master of taking the Logos Word and bringing it into a Rhema Word. He illuminates it in such a way that it just takes on a life of its own for us in whatever it is that we face or are going through. In an instance in my journey, I was deeply struggling with forgiveness. There was a time in which there was someone that I just did not want to forgive. I knew I was supposed to, but I was pressing into this with Jesus, and I was just wrestling through it. I felt hurt and wronged, and the emotions and the just the wounding that come out of that. And I was processing with Jesus. One day I was on my tractor mowing my lawn and just kind of crying out to God. And it was like crystal clear Rhema Word of God for me. Jesus just said this unto me. He said, Ken, you can either be a slave to so-and-so or you can be a slave to me. I knew Holy Spirit was bringing Logos Word to life in that. You can be a slave to so-and-so or you can be a slave to me. Now, not all of us are wired this way, but for me, it was a light switch moment. And it was just like immediately, I got to forgive so-and-so because I have no desire to be a slave to them. But I fully long to be a slave to Jesus and to God, right? And this, in many ways, kind of captures the heart of this very, very weighty part of the prayer we come to today. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I got a number of books on the go. Many of them, most of them are on the go for like professional development or pastoral development or staff development or you know, parenting development. But I only have one on the go right now that's really just for me. Like it's just, I'm just reading it for fun. You know what I mean? That's one of those reads. It's called The Genius of Jesus. And it's by one of my favorite authors, Erwin McManus. And Erwin in The Genius of Jesus presents Jesus as a genius. A lot of times we don't think of Jesus at the head of the list of geniuses, but nonetheless, here he is presenting. And he says this, he talks about how every genius has their medium, right? Every genius has kind of that thing that they're good at, or not just good, that they're masters at, you know, like Michelangelo had painting, and Beethoven had music, and Bobby Fischer, he had chess, right? And so he gets to Jesus, he says, well, Jesus is his medium, if you will, his canvas, if you might, is the human soul. He's the master of the human soul. He's so much so the master that he not only lived out, he taught about what it meant to be people who know peace. And ultimately, peace that leads to God. He was the genius of the soul, the master of the soul. And he unpacks Jesus from this perspective. I think, at least for me personally, this single verse that we're looking at today, it's a perfect example of the genius of Jesus. The mastery, if you will, of his knowledge of the soul and what it means to be one who has found peace and ultimately peace with God. And it hinges on forgiveness. Forgiveness, in fact, is at the very root of the gospel, isn't it? It's at the very core of it. The whole verse starts off, Matthew chapter 12, forgive us our trespasses. There's this place where we come to this acknowledgement, right, that we know we've sinned. We've wronged others. We've wronged ourselves. We've wronged creation. We've wronged God. There's this knowledge, right, that we've recognized that place. We realize we are part of the mess of life, the difficulty of life, the horrors even of life, and our need to find freedom from that. This is linked to something I talk about again and again, that you, that I, that us who are here, we were created to know God, to walk with him, to be in relationship with him. And this wrong, this sin, this mess, this difficulty, this horror, it's put this barrier between us and God. It's brought us to the place where there's not even a barrier, but in fact, we've walked away from him. But God did not want that to be our forever condition or our eternal place. So Jesus, the genius of the soul, if you will, he came to ensure that we can know what it means to walk with, to be in relationship with God, and then to experience forgiveness, ultimate forgiveness that is available through him, because he took every one of those wrongs, those sins, those messes, those difficulties, those horrors upon himself, and he went to the cross and gave his life. And we could find freedom and release, redemption, healing, and wholeness. And we come to him and we say, look, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, my life is yours. We come back into this relationship like we were designed for. But Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, says something that goes deep into our human experience. He says, pray like this, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who've sinned against us. We just heard a lyric actually right before this. It is well with my soul. How does one come to the place where they can sing something so pointed? It is well with my soul in a world that is messy, in a world that is filled with difficulty, in a world that is broken, that is filled with horrors. I found peace of some sort, haven't they? A peace where we've been redeemed, reconciled, things have been worked out with God. And in this verse, I'm convinced that Jesus, the genius of the soul, the master of the soul, is pointing us to this place, what we need to experience, ultimate peace. Peace with God. Forgiven as we forgive. Now, the wild thing about this text in Matthew chapter 6, this is verse 12, is Jesus is in the most influential prayer I'm convinced the world has ever heard uttered. And then he goes on, right, and he says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Then there's a little asterisk, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If ever there was one of those mic drop moments where like you've come to the climax of everything that could possibly uttered and said and prayed, it's right here at the end of the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, why doesn't Jesus just walk off and leave it at that? What is crazy, though, to me is at the end of this prayer that he gives us, where he has this walk-off like moment, like conclusion, is he picks it up almost as out of nowhere in 14 and 15 and doubles down on the very part of the prayer that we're speaking today. He doubles down. Check this out. 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. At the end of this prayer, he goes into this teaching on forgiveness. And it's not just a double down moment. It's actually an all in. It's like he takes the chips, if you will, and pushes them right to the middle and then goes to verse 15. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus is laying down some incredibly heavy and yet needed teaching here. I believe with all my heart this is a genius of the soul moment where Jesus is bringing us smack dab to the forefront of what it takes to find real peace and ultimately peace with God. Forgiven as we forgive. But how in the world do we do that in a world that's so, so messy, so just so broken and difficult, so filled with horror after horror? You know, on this wavelength, one of the most memorable moments from a program I've gone through a number of times called Alpha, is this. It's on in regards to forgiveness. They bring this point out. They say this, to not forgive someone, it's like drinking poison and hoping that they die. To not forgive someone is like drinking poison and then hoping that they die. What really has happened is we're just dying on the inside. Because Jesus knows. He's the genius of the soul. He will eat at us again and again. One of my just kind of favorite pastors to follow along with, particularly in regards to church unity and bringing a people group together, is his name is Dr. Derwin Gray. He's actually an ex-NFL safety, which is probably why I relate to him so well. But in regards to this subject, okay, he says this again and again. The human heart was not created to hate. That's why Jesus says other things later on in this very portion of scripture, you know, like to love your enemy. And in fact, you may have experienced this, but there could be story after story of how when we harbor hate or a spirit of unforgiveness, it doesn't just affect us spiritually, right? It affects us emotionally, mentally, even makes people physically sick. It physically affects us, the human heart. As Dr. Derwin Gray would say, it's not created for hate. It makes us ill even. The genius of Jesus, he's bringing us smack dab to the reality of our need for peace. Inner peace and peace with God, where we experience his forgiveness as we forgive others. You know, the putting all those thoughts together and having nice phrases like, you know, being a slave to Jesus, or, you know, drinking poison and expecting them to die, or the human heart not being created for hate. Those are great things to say, right? But how about day to day, like practically? Like really? Where does the rubber hit the road here? I want to give you a few examples, just a few stories. Stories from this day and age, stories from history. I kind of speak to this principle Jesus is bringing up and taking us through. And I think one of the key things to understand about forgiveness as we look at, as we consider these stories, is this. Forgiveness is not forgetting. There's a lot of misunderstanding around like the biblical reality for us to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean forgetting. Doesn't mean forgetting. In fact, part of the critical step in forgiveness is first acknowledging the hurt, the harm, the devastation that we've experienced. Until we've pressed into that, it's impossible to realize what was really at stake and what was really cost us. And we got to do that to forgive. One of my wife's favorite authors, someone she enjoyed reading, her name is Lisa Turkhurst. Lisa has a book coming out, actually, in November. I clearly have not read it. It's not even out yet. But I've listened to some of her podcasts in advance of this book coming out, particularly in preparing for today, because the book is entitled Forgiving When You Can't Forget. Timely, right? At least for me today. Anyways, as she's writing this book and talking it through with people, she communicates her story, and that the book is written out of her own personal just experience and her personal hurt. And she just tells it flat out like it is. It comes out of the implosion of her marriage, which is wild to think about, because here's this incredibly powerful Christian woman. I mean, she's a best-selling author. She's leading a nationwide like women's ministry. And yet here's her marriage imploding as her husband is unfaithful to her. Incredible devastation for her in the midst of going through that. And so as she's telling the story of the book and kind of weaving what she's writing on, she speaks of the appointments, the visits she had with her counselor. And in the midst of unpacking the hurt, her horror, her counselor one day said to her, "Are you ready to heal? Are you ready to heal?" "Yeah." And her counselor then goes on and says, "Then today's the day to start forgiving." And she makes this point that I think is really important for us to bring out now, and it will come out in just a moment. She said this. This is a direct quote. "Forgiveness is not based on my determination, but on my cooperation." That's loaded with good stuff right there. Forgiveness is not based on my determination, but on my cooperation. Ultimately, right, cooperation with God in us. In us living out and being what he has already been to us. I made this good friend, his name was Jerry, a number of years ago. And just so you know, Jerry has since passed on, and passed on because of the life choices he made, which will come out in just a moment. And prior to me doing Jerry's funeral and walking through that with him, he told me I could use his story whenever and however I want, and I could be as graphic or as explicit in the details as I need to be. And so he gave me full permission to whenever use his story, tell of his story. Anyway, Jerry is one of those guys that I met out of coincidence. Tongue in cheek, right? He randomly called me. And in the random call, he asked to meet so that he could go through his NA steps. Now, NA, if you're not familiar, is Narcotics Anonymous. It's sister kind of a part of AA, Alcohol Anonymous. And they put together these incredible 12 steps, in fact. Steps that are really actually based on very, very strong biblical principles. And you get to step 4 and 5 of the 12-step program, where you need to make a ruthless account of all your wrongs. You got to write them all down and record them. And how your addiction has caused this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And then step 5 is that you need to confess these wrongs to God, yourself, and to another human being. And so I've had a few of these calls over the course of my years where someone just randomly finds me and says, I need to go through step 5 of my AA or my NA or my SA program. And this is how it started. But there was something between Jerry and I that just like connected at a spiritual level. That first meeting was just only a few hours, but we had numerous meetings after that. As Jerry looked for so much more than just freedom from addiction, but longed for inner peace. Peace that you and I know comes from God, but he was getting there, right? And in the course of our visits, there was one day in particular, Jerry was telling me his whole life story. He took me to his childhood. And Jerry was a Métis man who grew up on a reserve that was predominantly, but for the most part, all just First Nations people. He was one of the few Métis people. This led to all kinds of trauma. But more than being one of the few Métis boys on a reserve, his life was filled with absolutely horrific violence, abuse, verbal, physical, sexual, on all levels, at all fronts. Things that are unimaginable to many of us, to me at least. In the process of our working through this journey, he, with complete just sorrow in his voice, if you will, said, I know I need to forgive my mom, but I can't. I hate her. You get into these moments that are way beyond your pastoral knowledge or experience, and so you just do what any, you know, pastor might do. Let's ask Jesus for some advice on this. And so we just moved into this place of listening prayer, because like we've already talked about, Jesus, the Logos word, also gives Rhema words, and the Spirit is the master at bringing these things together and giving the person. So we just went to Jesus and said, Jesus, we don't know what to do. Would you just walk us through this today? And normally I get the Rhema word like the first story, where I have this loose quoting of scripture that comes to my mind and it becomes alive. But in this instance, one of the few times in my life, I got a picture that I knew wasn't my flesh. I got a picture of Jerry's mom, and I got a picture of Jerry's mom as a little girl. Jerry and I go through this prayer, we begin to talk to each other. I said, Jerry, I got this picture, man. I'm going to share it with you, and you tell me if it lands us anywhere. I said, I got a picture of your mom, but she was a little girl. And I said, Jerry, you will never know, and I will never know, but from everything I know about the trauma that has been ongoing at reserves, everything that you know, Jerry, from the trauma that's been ongoing on the reserve, I'm willing to bet every dollar that when your mom was a little girl, she experienced the exact same. Violence and abuse, physical, emotional, sexual. And it was like a switch in Jerry went off. He started weeping. You just sit back when those moments happen, right? And you just let people flush that out of their soul. I didn't have to say a word for the rest of the time. Jerry just looks, after he gets this out, he says, I forgive her. You're right, I never had considered my mom as a little girl. But I forgive her. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is this genius moment where Jesus is bringing us to the place where inner freedom and peace and ultimately peace with God can be found. Jesus, the master of our souls, in this part of the Lord's Prayer, wants us to get there. I'll finish up with one more example. An example I've talked about a little bit before, actually, not too long ago. It was the end of summer as we were going through a series of hope and joy, and I was speaking to having hope in the midst of life's trauma, in the midst of life's hardship. And I gave the example of Corrie ten Boom. I told a bit of the story in more length there, but for the sake of today, to just kind of bring us up to speed, Corrie ten Boom is a woman who lived in the middle of World War II. She was from the Netherlands, and she hid Jewish families from the Nazis during that time. But one day she got captured or got caught doing this, was captured, was taken to solitary confinement for a period of time, into lockdown, into prison, and eventually to a concentration camp where she experienced things beyond what anyone in this room and what beyond, dare I even go so far as to say, what any one of you watching could even begin to imagine. And by God's miraculous sovereignty alone, as she survived and lived to tell the story of how Christ and his word was all she had and was all she needed to give her the hope that was needed to come through that. But she would later go on and be confronted as a grown woman now, as an adult woman, confronted by one of her captors and be asked for forgiveness. And I'm going to let her words in just a moment wrap us up today. But before I turn it over to Corrie ten Boom's words as a conclusion here, let me bring us right back to you and your journey in life. God loves you so much that he came for you to experience forgiveness. And it's available fully through Jesus. And Jesus, the genius of Jesus, the master of your soul, longs to bring you to the place where not only do you experience forgiveness, but you experience the greatest form of inner peace, and it is directly linked to your capacity to forgive. Now, I don't know what horror you have gone through, but I know that the human experience has shown us all throughout all history that it is messy, it is difficult, and there is horror after horror, but peace is linked to your ability to forgive. And so if there is someone that comes to the forefront of your heart and mind as we're talking today that you need to forgive, Jesus wants to work through that with you. We're forgiven as we forgive. And peace with God is linked to that. So with everything that is in me, I would encourage you to take that burden, that weight, that experience to him, and to work it through. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in you as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.